You're listening to Love Starts Here, a podcast for smart, successful women who are ready to finally have the love they want and deserve. Whether your relationship status is single, dating, or it's complicated, this podcast is exactly what you need to take your love and life to the next level. And now, here's your host, certified love and life coach, Melissa Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Love Starts Here podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to let you guys know that the waitlist is open for my virtual Valentine's Day dinner party. I did this last year for the first time, and I'm bringing it back this year with some incredible speakers and amazing prizes to give away. So it's on February 10th from 5 to 8 p.m. Mountain Time. It's open to all women, regardless of your relationship status, and it's going to be so incredibly fun. So I have 7 speakers. Each of them talks for 15 to 20 minutes. They are incredibly dynamic, fun, funny speakers, and they're talking about topics that are relevant to all of you. Things like self-confidence, boundaries, improving your relationships, but they're talking about them in ways that are different than anything you've ever heard before. Plus, we have over $3,000 in prizes that we're giving away that night. So you don't want to miss it. Click the link in the show notes, get yourself on the waitlist. Tickets go on sale January 31st, but they'll go on sale for the waitlist 4 hours before everyone else. So you want to make sure that you secure a ticket by getting on the waitlist. All right, let's dive into today's episode. This is our second Ask a Man Anything episode, and you guys did not disappoint with your questions. So the man I brought in to answer your questions is Married at First Sight Season 13's Johnny Lamb. For those of you who didn't watch the show or have never even heard of the show, the premise is there's 10 singles and they all get married at first sight to each other. So they don't know anything about the person that they're marrying. They don't know their name. They've never seen a picture. They know nothing until they meet them at the altar on their wedding day and get married. So Johnny and his wife did not ultimately stay married. But he has a wealth of knowledge about relationships and about dating and what it takes to make things work. And he's just the nicest human in the world. So I loved getting to know Johnny, and his answers to your questions were so smart that I'm really excited to share this interview with you. All right, guys, here we go. All right. Welcome to the podcast, Johnny.
Hi, Melissa.
Thanks so much for being here. Yeah, I'm excited to do this Ask a Man episode. So this is the second one that I've done. The first one was very popular, so I think everybody is really excited to hear what you have to say.
How'd the first guy do?
He was great, actually. He was great. He was a TikTok star.
Oh, wow.
I put that in air quotes. I don't know if there's really such a thing as a TikTok star, but yeah, it was super fun. But here's the thing with him is that he met his wife in high school. They married shortly after high school. They have 2.5 children and a white picket fence. And so like he knows a lot about being in a relationship, but I'm really excited for you because you know a lot more about dating.
Oh yeah. For those that may not know of your listeners, I was on the season 13, the Houston season of Married at First Sight. One of the reasons why I signed up for that show was because I'd been tired of dating. I'd been on over 100 first dates prior to getting married. The experts kind of told me that they would do a lot of detailed interviewing with me, find out exactly what I was looking for, ask me why my previous relationships didn't work out, what I was trying, really got to know my personality and background. And then they told me they would find me the perfect match, you know, out of all the available bachelorettes of Houston. And I couldn't turn that down. I was just tired of being out in the dating world.
Yeah. You know, I interviewed Mirla and Rachel also from your season. And that was one of the things Rachel said is like, who wouldn't sign up for that? So how did that turn out for you?
Well, expectations meet reality. It's one of those. I feel like I could probably do a couple of TikToks on that. I expected to be matched with a stranger, and they ended up matching me with someone that I had actually already known. We'd actually been on a date before and we'd hung out a few times. No real chemistry, either whether it was like romantically, physically, even the things that we wanted to do we didn't have common interests or hobbies.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a struggle for me to go from, you know, somebody that was I'd never seen as anything more than a friend and really more like an acquaintance to now being married to her. It was a jarring experience, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. So for those who don't watch the show, you're no longer married, correct?
That is correct. In the process of getting a divorce.
Okay. So are you back out there dating now or not yet?
Not yet. I think it's still too fresh. I want to kind of wait until the divorce is finalized. And I think it's a good time to unpack everything that happened from my marriage and everything that I've learned from it, just kind of unpack it first, see what that means going forward. But at the same time, if the right opportunity came along and the right person, we start hitting it off, I'm not going
to
say no.
Okay. We're going to get back to that a little bit later in the podcast, because a lot of people who wrote in with questions think that you have already met that person and that the two of you are already dating. So we'll get to that a little bit later.
Okay.
So let's start with the relationship questions. So the first question that women want to know is, why don't men talk about their feelings or communicate well?
Before I answer, it's probably unfair to say that no man communicates well. We're all going to behave differently, I think, because of our unique life experiences. Like if I had to guess, my personality and communication style is probably a result of some combo of like support systems growing up. So whether that was like my social network, like siblings, cousins, parents, whether I had good teachers or counselors that were in my life, maybe religious leaders, if you're religious, you go to church or something like that. To the role models that I chose to maybe emulate in real life and in media. And then three, I think the most important thing was my past relationships, romantic partners, the ones that I was most compatible with. I feel like they created this space for me where I felt free to express anything on my mind. And then the worst ones, unfortunately, were the ones who would like judge, redirect, and belittle me for saying those things, like communicating, making me wonder whether I should have said anything to begin with. But when it comes to expressing feelings, I feel like there's this decades-long stigma of guys should not be talking about their feelings, as if someone who's really self-aware and in tune with their emotions, if they express them, they come across as like soft.
Yeah.
Which I don't agree with. I mean, it's like 2022 now. I think it's time to really reconsider what it means to be male.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of coaches who do something similar to what I do. And they talk a lot about like masculine energy and feminine energy and how, you know, women need to get more into their feminine energy. And I get the premise of that, but a lot of times it annoys me because the feminine energy is usually very like emotional and feeling and compassionate and understanding. And the masculine energy is very like goal oriented and get things done and climb to the top. And I feel like we're past that.
Yeah. But it's so ingrained, you know, like with media, you look at TV shows and movies and even like print media, like advertisements, they all kind of speak to what people are used to, what people naturally associate, because it's all this psychological game of appealing to what you're familiar with.
So you think it's probably a combination of like how you grew up, what was modeled for you, what you were shown, and then also is your partner somebody that you feel comfortable communicating about those things with?
Yeah. And if they like provide like that space for you to feel comfortable and confident to express that. I mean, the second part of the question where this listener is asking, why don't men communicate well? I mean,
that's a big question.
It is. And I think this is the part where I kind of have to remind people that, you know, communication is like a two-way street. It takes two people to properly communicate. You can be a great communicator, but if that person isn't trained to receive your communication, you're not going to get your point across.
And I think to be fair, there's a lot of women who struggle talking about feelings too. Like my clients, a lot of them come to me with like a vocabulary of feelings that are happy, sad, mad, and scared, right? I'm like, how do you feel about that? Well, I feel sad. I feel scared. I feel happy. But there's like 9,000 other emotions.
Yeah.
But for the most part, we know happy, sad, scared, and mad.
That's right.
Okay. So here's the second question.
Okay.
This listener says, I've been in a relationship for 6 years. We don't live together. We're not engaged. We don't have children. I live with a roommate. He lives with his parents. I have a lot of questions about that entire situation.
Me too.
but that's not what she wants to know.
Okay.
She wants to know, I feel like our intimacy has been declining. How can I spice things up or give him the hint to spice things up?
Yeah, I'm kind of picking up on the same thing. And I don't know if you agree with me or not, but the thing that sticks out to me is kind of dating for 6 years and never and not cohabitating. Do you think I'm on the right track there? The way that that question was phrased, it seems like that's the thing we should focus on.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people don't believe in living together before they get married. And I understand that. But there's also the question of like, what direction are we moving in here? Like, they're not engaged. They don't live together. Not, I would be curious how many conversations they've had about the future and like, where is this going?
Yeah, I feel you. And I think in addition to that, having that conversation, I just put myself in that situation. If I was the guy in that situation, I just need space. And not in the traditional sense of in a relationship where you tell someone like, hey, I need space. It's more like I need space for us, like a private space where the two of these people can just be without kind of interference from roommates or parentals. I mean, I could definitely see why intimacy could be lacking in this pair.
Right. How spicy can you get in mom and dad's house?
Yeah. And in my best relationships, I feel like we had so much alone time where, you know, like downtime even, where we could just be purposely playful with one another or have unplanned flirty moments that'll just crop up out of nowhere just because we occupy the same space and we have the privacy to act on it. I mean, imagine the things that come to mind, just like waking up together and binging TV shows, cooking together, working out, showering together. It's like the everyday intimacy for me that fuels long-term intimacy.
For sure. So how do you suggest she brings this up with her partner?
Well, I think it's you probably have to do a couple things. The first thing I think is sitting down and talking about her needs and her expectations. So like, what does she need from him and what does he need from her? What does healthy intimacy mean to them? Because sometimes it could be completely different the way that you guys define intimacy. Like, do you need daily cuddles? Do you wish you held hands more? Do you wish that you could have more intimate conversations? Is it like the frequency or duration of having sex? Or is sex just boring at this point and you just need to spice things up? That's the first conversation I think they need to have. And then the second conversation, there's this task of sitting down with the people that you live with, like either your parents or your roommate, and saying, hey, how about like once a week I have my boyfriend over, and like the parents, you could take them out to dinner or something, give them some money, and they'll have a date night. You have a date night at home so you can cook together and then have wine. I can think of tons of cool things you could do is just creating that privacy. You strike while the iron's hot, but if you have someone else in the room where you're afraid of, you know, embarrassment or shame or whatever you guys are doing, you can't strike while the iron's hot and you have to kind of cool it.
Yeah, absolutely. You're really good at this. You might have to come back again.
No, I love having conversations like Mirla, Rachel, Brett and I, when we all get together, all we do is talk about relationships. And I mean, Rachel and Mirla told me they had a blast being on here. And that's kind of why when you said, let's do a podcast, I was like, great.
I love it. I'm pretty fun. I have my moments at least. The next question, how much do men care about things like our shoes, if our clothes match, if we have wrinkles, how big our ears are, if we have cellulite, et cetera?
Well, this bites me. But I mean, I feel like this is the type of question I was expecting to get. It's just girls saying like, this stuff I think matters, but how much does it actually matter? I'm not going to lie to you and say that, you know, appearances don't matter. They definitely do.
Of course.
That's the first impression you get of someone. And unfortunately, in this day and age, like quick consumption media, and you barely have someone's attention for a few seconds, you do have to stand out to attract a partner. And yeah. I think the first step is to secure the match by standing out. So I think those things do matter in order to attract the person that you're trying to get. One thing I will say is that you're not going to attract every guy. And so I think girls should play to their strength. For example, like whatever trait people often compliment you about. Is it like your eyes? Is it your legs? Do you work out a lot? Is it your sense of style? Do you look cute with glasses on? Like whatever it is. And then find a guy that likes that.
That's really good advice, because basically what you're saying is you don't have to be perfect.
No, not at all.
You don't have to be flawless, but know what your strengths are and then find the person that's right for you, that's attracted to that.
Yeah. Like for me, if she plays video games or volleyball, like it's immediately done deal. A little artsy.
I think that's also a good point, because a lot of my clients will say, well, I don't think this is going to work because I've been on 10 dates and they were all horrible. Or like, I don't think this is going to work because I've been doing online dating for the last year and I haven't met anybody good. And to your point about like, not everyone is going to be the right person for you, I always tell them like, you're not supposed to go on 100 great first dates. Like right. that's not what we're doing here. And just because the last 10 were not great, you're just getting all the no's out of the way so that then you can get to the yes.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I think one of the things that you want to find somebody that's truly, genuinely into you and attracted to you, because you don't want to end up putting on, you know, this facade of who you are, or maybe like the best possible version of who you are. And then you end up with somebody that is only, it's kind of like really high maintenance for yourself.
Right.
To constantly be this fake done up version of who you are.
Yeah. I always think that about the people who put on their online dating profiles, pictures from like 20 years ago or like 90 pounds ago. I'm like, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's happened to me a few times.
Yeah. Don't set yourself up for that. Uh-huh. Like just put your real picture. Someone is going to be attracted to your real picture.
Exactly.
And then that person's going to be attracted to you in real life.
That's right, man. I love it.
Okay. I love this question. Do you ever think about the one that got away or pine over someone that you can't have?
I don't pine over someone I can't have. I can't say I do that. But I think for the ones that got away, I think everybody has an ex or two in their life that we wish we could mulligan and just you know, get like a do-over. It's hard not to think about the past, but especially if you have really fond memories of that person. And I think it can be healthy as long as you're not dwelling on it and letting those memories fog up your current or future prospects. The worst thing is trying to hold that person, hold everyone that you date now, or you're thinking about dating to that great memory of this person. I think what you should do is just learn something from every relationship and figure out like which traits are deal breakers, what sounded good on paper, but in practice is not something you can tolerate. And just instead learn from that and not look too much on the ex. I mean, I will say having been on Married at First Sight and having married someone that I thought was not a great match for me, I have said no to so many women in my past that would have been great wives, great mothers to my children. Looking back, I do have a little bit of regret. Like I said no to all these women that wanted to be in a relationship, wanted to settle down, wanted to get married. And instead I got married to, you know, someone I didn't go on a second date with.
I mean, this is how we learn, right? And I know it's very cliche, but they do say people are in your life for a reason, a season or a lifetime. And it's really true. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's people in my past that I think if I would have met him at a different time in my life or a different stage of his life, we probably would have been together forever, but we didn't. And I do believe that what is meant to happen is what happens.
I agree.
All right. Next question. I can't tell you how many times I get asked this question. Why do men ghost instead of just telling us they're not interested?
Oh, man.
There's a thousand women listening to the podcast right now that are like, yeah, why?
I know. And first and foremost, I hate that people ghost or get ghosted.
It's the worst.
But I think it's important to figure out what exactly counts as like ghosting. For example, like if you match with someone online in a dating app and then you exchange a few messages back and forth and the conversation falls off, that's not ghosting. If you went on a horrifically boring first date and felt there's no chemistry or chance of a second date and they don't ever message you again, that's not ghosting either.
Right.
But going on a few dates where things seem to be going well, you tell each other you like each other, enjoy spending time with each other, and then felt there was potential for something real. And then he's dropping off the face of the earth. That I think is ghosting.
Yeah. I mean, so why does that happen?
I think there's a few things. So if someone ghosts you, I don't buy the I'm too busy or I forgot to message you back.
I
think it's just a level of interest. And I think the important thing to remember is like, if a guy's ghosting you at any level, you should take a step back and assess whether they're worth your time in the first place.
Totally.
Because guys and girls alike are great at making excuses, because let's be honest, like a lot of people are just kind of cowards. They don't, we're so afraid of hurting each other's feelings that instead of being direct and confrontational, people just say nothing at all and hope the situation like goes away.
Right.
So I think it's that confrontational aspect of it. Don't want to hurt feelings. That could be a lot of it. Mm-hmm. For guys, especially guys that have many options. If you're after a guy that potentially has lots of options, it's probably because he's occupied with someone else. There's probably someone else in the picture, because if I really like you, I'm not going to ghost you. If I feel like I found someone that's worth my time, worth a relationship that's worth pursuing, you message me, I'm going to message you back. in a timely manner because I value this relationship. And if I don't value you, you need to move on.
Yeah.
that's kind of what it is for me.
I totally agree. And anytime a girl asks me this question, my answer is always like, who the F cares? Who cares why he does it?
Uh-huh.
I don't care. And I always have clients who feel like it's their mission to like send him this big long message about how disrespectful it is and how they deserve better. Like they need to educate him about why ghosting is such a problem. No, don't spend another second or another half an ounce of energy on him. Because basically what he's just told you is, I don't have the emotional capacity to have a relationship. I mean, that's essentially why someone ghosts, right? For whatever reason. And so now you know that and move on, let it go.
Exactly. When I date though, I do not believe in ghosting. I have no problem at an early point saying, hey, you're a great person. We're not a good match. I think we should see other people, just because I think that's the mature thing to do, the right thing to do. I'm not afraid of confrontation. I'm not afraid of hurting feelings. I'm sure a lot of people would agree that watch the season. I'm just very direct about how I feel. I kind of lay my thoughts out there just so the person I'm seeing, whether it's one date or five dates or 10 dates or a few months, they just can kind of know where I'm at and they can take that information and do what they want with it.
I think that's the best approach, 100%. Mm-hmm. All right. So next question, what makes a serial dating man fall for a woman long-term?
Man, it's hard. It's so hard nowadays to fall for someone long-term because I feel like technology, we're at this point in technology where it's made it too easy to date. And if things don't work out or things seem to be going south with one person, you can immediately hop online and have all these options. I mean, you think about like our parents' generation, their options are probably, you know, small town or, you know, there's probably four or five people that they could choose from. And it makes it really easy. We have potentially like hundreds of thousands of people, especially if you live in a big city, that you could potentially get matched with. It's made it too easy. So I think in a word, what makes a serial dating man fall for someone long term is, I think it's maturity, is realizing that instead of trying to find the perfect woman, you kind of create the perfect woman for you. So you make that conscious decision to say, you know, I like the positives, I can deal with the flaws, and, you know, I'm a flawed myself, but together we could be great with just time and building this history together.
Yeah. And part of that is about what is the person actually looking for, right? Because if you're looking to get married, if you're looking for someone to settle down with, if you're looking for someone to be the mother of your children, then your mindset's going to be really different. I mean, your criteria are going to be very different too, but your mind is just going to be in a different place. If you're a serial dater and you just want to have fun and, you know, have excitement and move from the next one to the next one to the next one, that's a very different mindset. So I want to make sure that's clear in case this question is coming from a place of like, I'm a woman and I'm trying to make this serial dater fall in love with me. If that's not what he wants, there's nothing you can do. You can be the greatest woman that ever existed. You can show him all of the ways that you are fabulous wifey material. If he doesn't want a wifey, it doesn't matter.
Right. And I think it's, yeah, and that's true. Like I said, maturity before, but some guys may never have that as, you know, a long-term partner as their goal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of guys, at least the people I hang out with, most of my guy friends who used to be serial daters, have gotten to the point, especially in your 30s, where you're just tired of it, of that. And you want something a little more substance and you want to actually just build a history with someone. You know, they don't necessarily have to be everything you were looking for in the past, but they have the things that matter to you now at this stage of your life. I think, yeah, maybe discern, does this person even want that? What I want. And lay that out pretty early on in the information gathering phase.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to move into the non-relationship questions? We're just going to rapid fire these out really quick.
Sure.
All right. What celebrity would you want to date?
I kind of like witty, sarcastic woman. Again, I got like a nerdy streak to them. So I'd say like Emma Stone or Zendaya. The new Eternals movie, Gemma Chan, she's like the Jessica Chastain, Rashida Jones from The Office, and so many other roles. I don't know, have you heard of Naomi Scott?
Uh-uh.
She played Jasmine in the Aladdin remake.
Okay, so nobody asked who your favorite Disney princess is, but now we all know. All right, here's the Married at First Sight questions.
Okay.
Are you still friends with Jose, or has your relationship with Rachel caused a rift?
I think it'd be hard for it not to create some sort of a rift, just because at this point, Rachel and Jose are not really speaking. I do still make an effort to hang out with Jose. He and I, we really bonded over the Married at First Sight experience. But I will say we don't hang out as much anymore. A lot of times it's just, Jose's kind of a homebody. That's kind of the part of contention between him and Rachel in the first place, was that he likes to stay home and not do a lot. And she loves being out every single night of the week if she can. So Ryan and I, we have a group chat with Jose, and we've been trying to get together for golf, but it's so hard to plan with him. So it ends up just being me and Ryan going to golfing.
So that's the second question. Are you still friends with any of the other guys from the show?
So it's Jose, Ryan, Gil, and Zach. Gil's kind of on a celebrity island out there on his own. I haven't seen him since, I haven't seen him or Zach since the last time we filmed together. The only person I hang out with regularly is probably just Ryan.
Do you have any regrets about getting married at first sight on national TV?
This is a hard question, because I hate to live with regret. There are definitely things I wish I had done differently. Kind of my whole approach to it was, I wasn't prepared for being on a show, especially the way it turned out. I kind of wish I'd been a little pickier. I left a lot of things open when they interviewed me on who I was willing to be matched with. If I had known I was going to get matched with somebody I already knew, I probably wouldn't have signed up for it in the first place. But looking back and at least watching, I watched the first half of the season, at least before I stopped watching. But the first half of the season when I was watching, I could definitely see that the way that I am trying to get my feelings across can come across as very unpolished, kind of rude, brash. It's just raw emotion, and it needs to be contained a little better. I need to kind of think more about the message I'm trying to get across, and not only that, but the end goal of that communication. Figure out, you know, what is the best way to communicate to the person I'm trying to communicate to achieve my result. And I'm taking away a lot from that.
I mean, granted, I only saw a very small portion of what happened over a very long period of time, but it did seem like you made a good effort.
Yeah, I did. I told myself, especially on my wedding day, the build up to it, you know, when it was all still blind hope, that no matter who walked down the aisle, I would smile, I would be happy, I would enjoy that day and give it my best. It wasn't until probably around the 1 month mark where I started to really feel like this really wasn't going to work.
But unfortunately, I'm on TV and now I'm stuck here for 60 more
days. That's right, man. At certain points, I just felt miserable.
You touched on this a little bit, but what did you learn about yourself from being on Married at First Sight?
One of the most important things was I felt like being in a committed relationship is a lot of hard work. And I think having been in the dating world for so long, I mean, it had been 7 years since I'd called anyone my girlfriend. Granted, I'd had like 3 to 6 months relationships. Those are probably the longest relationships I've had in the past 7 years. But going forward and treating something as a long-term committed relationship, I started realizing like my flight reflex, whenever I find something I don't like and wanting to leave, that's not going to fly in a committed relationship. It's kind of like this whole dating game. As soon as you find something you don't like about someone, it's really easy to just hop on a dating app and find another match. And resisting that urge and training myself to not do that is really important. I also learned to be a little more patient with the person I'm with. Bao and I were not personality-wise a great match, but I stuck around and I tried to draw out those good things from her. And I try to be my best person no matter what, just to give things a chance. I think for someone that's traditionally been such a quick to run and commitment phobe, being forced to commit to someone, even if it's just for 8 weeks, you know, it's good practice. And yeah. I think I need to start looking at everything in that light. This is a long-term relationship. You're committed. Stick it through. Be patient. Work on it.
All right. This is the last question, because this was asked probably 100 times in 100 different ways. And everybody wants to know.
I know where this is going.
Are you and Mirla together?
We are not together. I hate to disappoint everyone. I get to ask that a lot, just because we do hang out a lot ever since this past summer. As soon as we finished filming, we started picking up additional filming things for the show, and we ended up traveling a lot together. I remember I went to a wedding in Cancun, and Mirla's birthday weekend, she was going to Cancun anyway. So we ended up syncing up and staying at the same resort, took a lot of pictures together, and we everybody just thinks because we took pictures together and we're like both, you know, she is female, I am male, that we're obviously dating. But I think the thing with Mirla is Mirla and I just get along.
Yeah. Here's what I think. This just came to me while we were talking, because I watched the reunion before I knew any of you. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, these two are definitely together. But I think the reality was that we were not used to seeing Mirla with someone that she felt comfortable with. I don't think that we were used to seeing that, like, touchy-feely. It seemed a little flirtatious, but I think that's just her nature. And we just weren't used to seeing her like that. And so there's obviously a very different vibe that she has in her friendship with you that she didn't have in the relationship that we watched her have on TV.
That's true. That's 100% it. Like, when we're together, there's no expectations. We're not trying to impress each other. She's not having to be on her, like, tiptoes about anything she says or does. And after the show, when you're no longer required to be around the people you're supposed to be with, you just naturally gravitate towards people that have the same kind of energy and the same kind of vibe. And that's why I think you've kind of seen the cast divide up into kind of cliques. Mm-hmm. But it's just because we're all kind of similar, and we gravitate to one another.
Yeah. And I would think for the people, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like you and Mirla, who spent a lot of your marriage feeling like you were being judged, it was probably very refreshing to be with each other and not be judged.
Yeah. And actually, I feel like the people I hang out with now, they want that from me. They just want to hear me say what I think, because I don't ever feel judged for. I don't ever feel like they're going to use what I say against me or anything like that. It's just so liberating.
Yeah.
To just be myself.
Yeah. Well, I get it, because I've loved hearing you say what you think. And I hope that you will come back to the podcast anytime. I would love to have you back here again.
Yeah, this was amazingly fun.
All right, Johnny, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks for listening to the Love Starts Here podcast. For more tips, tools, love, and support, be sure to join the Love Starts Here Facebook group to learn more about how you can work one-on-one with Melissa to take your love and life to the next level. Visit www.melissamsnow.com.